Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sports AHS podcast. I am Michael Florek here with you, as always. We got a pretty good crew today. Not complete crew. We haven't had a complete crew in a while, but we got a good one. We got the magnanimous Matt Wixon over there.
Ooh, magnanimous.
I did look that up before. I ran
handy
out of...
Handy-dandy thesaurus.
Yeah, and we got the able Avi Zalen. Avi, how are you?
I can do some things.
You're able.
He's able.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to... I'm not going to do them particularly well, but you can do them.
All right, so we are
you differently abled? That's just a... Sorry.
Sorry. Let's just go into it. We've reached week 10. We are... approaching the playoffs. We're kind of coming off the rails in the podcast, but who really cares about
that? Hey, the season's kind of coming off the rails.
That is true. That is true. I want to go to one of the kind of highlights of where it's all gone off the rail, and that's District 5-6A.
Yes.
Everything's going crazy. So Marcus beats Flower Mound in double overtime in the Mound Showdown. They're looking kind of – they have, I believe, they're third now in the district. And then you have U.S. Trinity, who is now has three losses.
In district.
After being in the top 10. Just how are we ever going to figure this out? Like, what do you make of it? You have South Lake Carroll in there, but they just lost Robert Barnes, their star safety / receiver. He's out for the season. So is there a way to sort of handicap this race as we look into the final 2 weeks here, Matt?
It's so hard to handicap this. I mean, it's really sad for Carroll that they lost Robert Barnes. He's a great player. But they're in comfortable position, at least, you know, going into the playoffs. The thing that makes it so hard to figure out is that there's a definite depth of competitive teams, good teams, more so than maybe or equal to any other district around. And then on top of that, you got one thing that used to be a sure thing. U.S. Trinity is now one of those teams just battling to get in there. And so it's really hard to figure. And then what you were just saying, the Mound Showdown went to two overtimes. That is how thin the margin of error and the difference is between all these teams or so many of these teams in the district.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this real easy for everyone.
Okay? Oh, yeah. See, he's able.
I'm going to make this real easy. It's going to be on Friday, November 4th. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m. And it's going to be for district.
Oh,
that's when Carroll and Hebron play each other. Last week of the season.
Okay.
So Carroll this week gets Bell. Bell is much improved from years past. They had a nice win against Louisville. But I think that Carroll's just, even without Barnes, just too much for Bell in that one. And then Hebron gets Louisville this week. And Louisville, after beating Marcus, a lot of people were very high on Louisville. Since then, they've kind of fallen off. I think Hebron's going to be too much for Louisville. And then in Carroll, in Southlake, baby, Dragon Stadium. Could be a game of the week candidate. That's Hebron-Carroll. And that's, I think that's going to...
Winner wins district.
I think that's going to be who wins district. And I think we'll see how Carroll plays without their number one playmaker. But I think it's going to be real interesting.
So those are your top two. And then you look at everything else, though, and... U.S. Trinity, as we mentioned, kind of in a fight for the playoffs right now. They play Flower Mound this week, Flower Mound Marcus next week, both teams in the playoff hunt. And then if you look elsewhere, 10-5A, Waxahachie, also state-ranked at one point. They've now lost a couple games. They have Lancaster and Mansfield Lakeridge left, and those are their final two games. So,
which one is more likely to miss the playoffs, in your estimation?
That was going to be what I was going to pose to you fellows.
Okay.
But I personally, I mean, I look at it, and Waxahachie has quite the, like, murderous row
right
remaining. I think Lancaster has kind of the, well, obviously they have the ability to win. They're leading the district. They've clinched the playoffs. But I think they match up really well with Waxahachie. They have a lot of their secondary can kind of cover those receivers, which is Waxahachie's biggest strength. They have the offense to compete with them. They can run the ball. So there's a lot to like at Lancaster. And then Mansfield Lakeridge also in the playoffs hunt here. They need two wins, probably maybe one to two wins for them. So you're looking at two teams that really are either going to make the playoffs or need the wins to make the playoffs. So you look at Waxahachie. On the other side, Flower Mound and Flower Mound Marcus probably both need those wins as well. I just don't think Flower Mound has kind of the same sort of horses that Euless Trinity can kind of exploit there. So I think Trinity can win that game and kind of be looking good for the playoffs from there. But I don't know. What say you, Matt?
I agree in the sense that I think Waxahachie has more of a chance of missing the playoffs, but I could totally see both teams missing it because I think that Marcus game is going to be really tough for Trinity. And the fact that Trinity already lost to Trophy Club Byron Nelson, I mean, tiebreakers are working against them because those losses are against teams that are going to or could be into, you know, tied in that last week. And that would just be really unexpected turn of events.
Yeah, the tiebreakers is a good point because Waxahachie has lost to Timberview already. They've lost to Mansfield already. Two teams that could be – they could have been in a tiebreaker with if they lose here, if they lose to Lakeridge in that final week, that's another team that they have they'll be on the outside with the tiebreaker with. So they really kind of need that game. Avi, how do you kind of look at all this?
Are we talking about the Lakeridge? Are we talking about the Mansfield district? Or are we talking about the Trinity district?
Both of them.
Still?
Both of them.
Okay.
Which one?
Well, I have thoughts about Flower Mound, and it's not so with Flower Mound. It's actually I'm kind of like a part of me is like rooting for them just because I really like what Coach Basil's done with them this year. And if you look at kind of like their losses, I think they had a bad loss against Bell. They lost 40-7 against Bell. That should have been closer. But then, like, they lose to 10 against Hebron, and then they took Marcus to double overtime. But I don't think this is, like, the year for them. I think this is, like, that year where, like, you see, like, noticeable improvement and they can build off of it. And then you kind of, like, instill that culture that you're trying to get, and, like, next year might be the year, like, they go to the playoffs. Like you said, I think Trinity ends up with that berth this year. And then the Mansfield district, it's like, man, I can't figure that out.
Right.
I do think that things kind of rounded out to, at least the way I kind of saw them in preseason with Lakeridge in particular, it's like, it was real easy to be down on them just given how much they lost. And you just look at those staggering numbers of, you know what the returning starters were. The player they have Bean, he's a great player they have for them. He's a athletic kid, a good rusher. They weren't as good this year, mm-hmm. you know. And I think they'll take some time to regroup.
I mean, tough to repeat a state title.
I think Legacy's extremely impressive.
Yeah,
they've had great wins, and it's at what point do you no longer think of that as a surprise, where it's like now Legacy actually gets to be the favorite in some of these games, like when they beat Lakeridge, like when they beat Waxahachie. It's like, you know, have they played Lancaster already?
They have.
Yeah, I think that was their loss.
Okay.
Or one of them.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's you're looking at the second best team in that district.
Yeah, I agree. Now, moving on here, we kind of mentioned it a little bit, South Lake Carroll's Robert Barnes out for the season. Duncanville loses their quarterback, Jalen Nelson, broken femur, which does not sound good, but he's also out for the season. And it was interesting to do our area rankings this week. Like, how much do you hurt a team for losing their star player? I kind of didn't take much into his account with South Lake Carroll. I took a little more with Duncanville just because it's a quarterback, but just how did you guys approach that?
I didn't, or maybe it was kind of like yours. I didn't put a lot into it. I think, to me, to be fair, I give them a chance to show what they can do without him. And in that game, they were playing DeSoto. Mm-hmm. They were not expected to win that game, and they didn't win that game. So I didn't hurt them, you know, much more in except that there was a loss. Now, this week, you know, we'll see how they go forward. Jalen Nelson's a really good player, and whenever you lose your quarterback, no matter how talented he is, I mean, he has his hands in so many of the plays, it's a big deal. And Jalen really led him in rushing, led him in passing. That's going to be a really tough thing to overcome for Duncanville. They are a talented team. It's not like they were just all kind of all lost around Jalen Nelson, but it's going to be tough this late in the season to kind of put everything together and get something going in the playoffs.
Okay, so this sounds like somewhat obvious, but look, Robert Barnes is a fantastic talent. He's going to Oklahoma for a reason. That being said, that the loss of Nelson hurts Duncanville more than the loss of Barnes hurts Southlake. And just if you look at their stats, Robert Barnes, 428 yards receiving, four touchdowns. Next highest guy, Jackson Davis, 402 and 3. Like, fairly similar. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that hurts you in the sense of maybe the 402 guy was getting some of those yards because maybe Barnes was being double teamed, or maybe he was able to attract more attention. And whenever you lose a weapon on the field, like, it's more than just stats. You're also losing part of your strategy where you can't use him in different ways as a decoy or to, you know, scare other defenses, and do, you know, you lose a lot of options there. You know, I think Carroll's a good enough team that, you know, look, I think they'll still win district unless Hebron beats them. I think that they'll go a few rounds deep in the playoffs. I think you miss some round. Like, if I'm, like, projecting, I think, you know, maybe they don't go as far as they were before. You know, and then with Duncanville, it's hard for me with a program like Duncanville because, you know, they just have next guys up that are going to be talented. Like, Duncanville has talent. It's like a similar deal with, like, a Cedar Hill or a DeSoto. Like, you may not know the guy who's next, but he's probably pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that being said, he's not a senior. He's not necessarily, you know, a leader. Like, he's not going to have the experience and all those intangibles, but it's not like your entire season is going to totally crumble. So we'll see how Duncanville responds. And I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So Southlake Carroll stayed at number 3 in our rankings after their win. Duncanville dropped from number 7 to number 12 after losing to DeSoto. Another team I want to mention right now, Lakeview Centennial, up to number 9. They clinched their first playoff appearance in 21 years.
It's almost as old as me.
And joining us right now is Garland Lakeview Centennial coach Kendall Miller. Coach, first playoff appearance in 21 years. Just what was it like to finally clinch it last week or last weekend? And what was that sort of celebration like for you guys?
Well, I guess somewhat relieving, you know, in a sense. But it was enjoyable for kids, even more for our school, for our community. It was a really enjoyable experience for us, you know, to look up and see, you know, all of our students coming out in the field, and, you know, it's something that they've been for and excited about, and that's kind of the hidden number about high school football, that it has that ability. You know, to really bring the school and community together. So to see that is what you're most proud of.
And just, you obviously haven't been there for the whole 21 years, but just how much?
No, thank God.
How much did it kind of hang over you guys in these past previous years there when you got kind of close and you just weren't able to pull it off?
Well, you know, coming in and you know where the program was for whatever reason. You know, I don't even think that in anybody's right mind in the first couple of years that you know, playoffs or competing for it would have been anyone's expectations at all. And for, you know, our first 2 years here to be coming into the last game, playing for it and to have beaten some top teams and to get that point, you know, it kind of put us to a place where, you know, most and even us in some phases didn't expect to be, and then it kind of became an expectation. Well, you know, we should be there. But I mean, coming in the beginning, we knew it's going to be a process and going to be time. But you know, those first years when we didn't make it, it was disappointing, obviously. But you know, we were kind of about where we probably should have been. You know, so but to just been competitive those first, you know, couple of years helped us, you know, kind of lay the groundwork to get into a position now to actually compete, you know, up among the top teams.
Now, you guys have been building a little bit, I'd say, every year, you know, getting close and things like that. And then this year, obviously you made it. Was there a point or a win this year when you guys felt, or you felt like, hey, we've kind of turned the corner? And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but I know that the win over North Mesquite, that turned heads. I really have a lot of respect for what they do over at North Mesquite and won 10 games last year, had a lot of guys coming back, and that seemed like it was a really good win for you guys.
Well, you know, the North Mesquite game for sure is one that said, hey guys, you know, we and I said to our team, hey, we just beat a really good football team. And North Mesquite is a team that went, not only was a last year with a team that went three rounds deep, you know, into the playoffs last year. And, you know, in a weird way, probably our very first game, which it happened to be one of our two losses,
mm-hmm.
was a game that gave us some confidence. You know, it was against Waxahachie. We played a very close game against Waxahachie. And, you know, I think a lot of people expecting us to get blown out of the water. And, I mean, Waxahachie is obviously very, very good. And that one, I think, after that, we just realized, hey, you know, gave our guys some confidence. But, hey, this is a game that, you know, that could have gone our way. And I think it carried over into the next week versus Muskogee. But, yeah, for sure, those first two games gave us some confidence that we needed and made us realize that, hey, we can put a good football team in the field and we can beat a good football team. So, yeah, for sure. No, I definitely agree with you. You know, that's something that helped us.
Coach, at my last job, I used to work in Beaumont, and I covered a kid who – this might sound familiar, he's an exceptional athlete. He was committed to a major college baseball program, you know, following high school, and he didn't want to play football. And understandably so. He didn't want to risk, you know, putting his body on the line in such a physical sport and ruin his career in baseball. And you know, it was kind of the football coach wanted him to play because he knew he had the ability, but the kid just, you know, decided it wasn't best for his future. You know, and switching back to y'all, you know, your quarterback, you know, Cameron Fields, exceptional athlete. He's, you know, putting up huge numbers for you guys, plays a big role. I'm just wondering, you know, his development as a player, how do you guys balance the baseball football thing and breed him to do both, I guess?
Sure. You know, Cam is an exceptional kid. You know, besides being an exceptional athlete, he's just really an exceptional young man. I mean, really carries himself well, handles all this, you know, extremely maturely. So, you know, Cam, his sophomore year, he got hurt. He hurt his elbow. And he had that elbow surgery. And what he did was we had started spring football, and he went, we didn't mess with him until our baseball season was over. What I didn't realize on weekends he was going to play for Lake Baseball. So we had started working as quarterback for a week, and then he went on the weekend and he played for Lake Baseball, and the baseball coach had him pitch. And he pitched something like 12 innings. Come back that Monday, he couldn't even lift his arm, and his elbow had a big knot on it. So, and he ended up having to have his arm surgery. So, number one, I was just irate with him because I didn't know that he was going to throw. I would have told him not to do that weekend. But then second, it also made me realize, and from that point on, you know, we learned for the last 2 years that when we went into the spring, I mean, after football season, in January, he went to baseball. He doesn't touch a football until he is absolutely done with baseball. So, this last year, it really got tough because there were a lot of people that wanted, a lot of colleges that wanted to come through and see him throw, people that wanted to offer him scholarships, and it did. And some even offered them contingent upon coming to see him throw in the spring. Well, just so happened this past spring, we had a good year in baseball, and baseball season went longer than expected. And they said, well, Coach, can you bring him out to just let him, you know, let us watch him throw a football? And my answer was no. I said, no, you know, I know what you want to see, but you know, his involvement with us this fall is way more important, you know, and also his, you know, his health is what's the first thing for us. So we really, you know, prioritize that. And he went full-time baseball, and because he is that good at it, he's probably the best player on baseball team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we take complete time off, and then once baseball season is over, then he comes back into football. And so I learned my lesson there, that we, you know, we're a whole lot better with him. So he just had to pick things up a little bit later as he came back in, probably about the second half of spring football.
And he's committed to play baseball at Texas. He had scholarship offers to play football at some pretty big programs, Minnesota, if I recall correctly.
Sure. He had Minnesota, Utah, and Iowa. And, you know, it's, you know, talk about his odyssey a little bit of office for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It was about... it would have been about Christmas time or January this past year, and Cam called me and he said, hey, Coach, you know, will you be honest with me for a second? I said, yeah, sure, what's going on? He said, Coach, did me getting hurt, you know, a year ago, do you think that killed my chances of getting a scholarship offer? Because at that point, it didn't have anything. And I just laughed. And I said, Cam, do do not worry about that. And you know, kind of the problem that we run into, and talking with other coaches too, with now kind of the 24-hour media attention to, you know, high school signees and kids that are committed, and, I mean, you're watching ESPN and it comes across the bottom of the screen, kids kind of get a false sense that's the only way for it to happen. And I said, hey, ignore what you're reading. You know, there's plenty more offers to go around. Just relax and have fun. I said, I promise you by the end of the spring, you're going to be fed up with all this. You know, and that's exactly what happened. In January, he was worried about would he possibly even get offered a scholarship. Come May, he was completely worn down. Like, coach, yeah. I'm overwhelmed by this. There's so much stuff. I said, I told you this would happen. He came in the spring, and that's when all the football offers came in. He's really trying to sit down now and decide. I'm talking with his parents. And then he goes off in the summer. He goes and plays a baseball tournament, I think, down in Florida. And he has just a heck of a tournament. And he comes back, and I found out about it, that Texas was offering baseball scholarships. So his mom called me today. Is Cam called you? I said, no. And he said, okay, he needs to call you and talk to you. So I think in his mind, he thought that he was going to disappoint me mm-hmm. by calling me and telling me that he wanted to play baseball. He was going to decide to take this baseball offer and not play football. And, you know, he kind of beat around the bush. I said, Cam, look, you don't have anything at all to explain to me. You know, dude, you're the one that's going to be in college next year, not me. And it's your career and your life. But I'm just as excited about you saying you're going to go play baseball at UT as I am about any football offer that you take. And the biggest thing is that you're going on to further your career and go to continue your education. Now, if you said that you weren't going to go to college and drop out, then that's the only time I'd be upset with you. So, but to do that is, look, man, I completely get it. And so we were excited for him. I think that was a little relief for him, his mom, but he was afraid to call me and talk to me about it. So, but it just tells you what kind of kid he is, too. I mean, that he wants to please and wants to believe in his right for his coaches. But no, we're fired up about the decision, and they'll get one heck of a kid and baseball player down in Austin.
Just how much did you kind of see him kind of struggle just sort of with this being his last year playing football and making that decision to give up football to play baseball?
I know it was a struggle, and I know that because I saw him day to day, and I saw it really start to wear on him in the springtime of trying exactly what to decide or where to decide to go with football. I mean, it was really, really, eating him up. You know, and it's a tough decision. I mean, at the end of the day, that's where you're going to move to for the next 4 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. And baseball, in some sense, may have been a little bit of a relief. I know that it's the first thing that he ever played was baseball. He was a baseball player before he was a football player. So I think if he ever had to choose just one, that's probably what it would be. And, you know, looking at baseball salaries and longevity, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to disagree with that.
Right.
Awesome. Well, Lakeview Centennial coach Kendall Miller, thanks for coming on. Congrats on clinching the playoffs here, and you got 2 more weeks left. Good luck there. Good luck in the playoffs.
Guys, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, let's move on to week 10 here, and let's move on to the game that has sort of swept the nation.
It's still being debated.
You were in Michigan, so you had the chance to let it flourish to other lands.
That is true. There's not a lot of interest in Texas high school football in Michigan, but I was there. I was there for a wedding.
Matthew Stafford?
That is true. I mean, they understand he came from Michigan. I think they're more worried about his current team and his current situation.
Well, comeback. That was a good comeback.
It was. Good job for the Lions there.
You got one.
Yeah, they're not bad this year.
They're not bad.
I'm throwing stones in a glass house. Go Ravens.
Yeah, exactly. So let's go into Nobody Believed in the
Football
game.
Football's
so
dead to me.
We did not have a pod last week, so no picks were made last week. I was at the UIL Legislative Council. Matt was working on a story that's going to be pretty good when it comes out. Don't want to spoil it, so you'll just have to keep
it. But it's about football.
It is about football. Yes.
5 things to eat before you die.
Right.
Very close. We look at our current standings after a lot of, I should say that me. And,
I am not doing well. I know that.
I should say that me and Joe had wins in week 8. So we both got double the points there. So current standings, I'm in first place with 6 points. Joe is in second place, who's not here, with 2 points. Because he came up with the big Mansfield Legacy win over Waxahachie. He called that. And then Matt has won. Avi has won. Now
Avi hasn't played in through.
Exactly.
Month.
So last time when Joe missed 2 weeks, we instituted the double. So this one, if you want the double, it could count this one. So if you get this one, it's 2 points instead of one, and you pick in the paper, it's 4 points instead of two.
Okay. Fine.
So who are you picking? Who are you picking as your Nobody Believes in Us team for this week?
I'm going first. I'm looking at the games.
Oh.
Figuring out who I want to take. It's an interesting game between Ryder and Braswell. Looking ahead.
Are you going to pass for a second? You can pass.
Yeah, okay. This is like we're ordering at a restaurant. You guys go first. You guys know what you want.
All right. I'm going to get the Mushu chicken.
I'm still figuring it out. I have some questions for the waiter.
Okay.
Okay, here were my two runner-ups, ones that I thought I would do.
Okay.
One of them, of course, then I blank. No, Rockwell Heath and Longview.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rockwell Heath has a chance. I mean, I certainly think Longview is the favorite, and I expect them to win that game. But I think Rockwell Heath, they can play that style. They're not going to throw many passes, maybe any passes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to shorten the game. They're going to play good defense. And if they can get their running game going, they have a shot in that game. My other one is just – I was bringing it up because it's like it's got to happen at some point. Plano East is going to beat Allen some year. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but it's been a long time since Plano East has beaten
Allen. How long?
Allen.
No.
Well, I'd have to look it up, but it's turn-of-the-century stuff.
Yeah.
It's last century. So that was my other one. But then the one where I went with is Skyline and Capel. And who would have ever thought that Skyline would be the – Nobody Believes in Us team. They have been such a powerhouse for almost a decade. But, you know, they've had their stumbles, their struggles this year. And I'm just wondering, can they, you know, get some of that back for a week here and beat Capel? And Skyline's going to be in the playoffs anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see if Skyline can do that against a quality, kind of an up-and-down team in Capel. But Capel is a solid team, and Skyline would love to get a solid victory going in to the playoffs, a couple weeks here in the playoffs.
Yeah, that would be big for them just in terms of a sort of confidence deal there. They played a lot of good teams but haven't really beat a very, very good team this year. Beating Capel would kind of do that for them. Me, I kind of thought along the same lines you did in terms of your runner-up with Rockwell Heath and Longview. I also looked at Argyle Liberty Christian versus Bishop Dunn. Now, mm-hmm. Kind of a private school matchup, but Bishop Dunn 4-4 on the year after kind of having all kinds of expectations with all the talent they had. Argyle Little Christian 3-5 right now. So, I'm pretty sure they're 2-5. They were 2-5, and I believe they won. So 3-5. So I don't really know if that was good enough. So I'm just gonna have to take Rockwell Heath. Versus Longview.
I would give you either one of those, whichever one is your pick. I think that would be fair to call that a Nobody Believes in Us Argyle Liberty Christian against Bishop Dunn. You take your choice which one you want.
I'm going to stick with Rockwell Heath Longview.
Okay.
Longview has to come to Rockwell Heath, as you mentioned. They're going to run a lot. They're going to kind of try to control the game a little bit and try to control the clock there. So I think they can get it done. I will give a shout out to Liberty Christian. They've played a lot of like top talent teams in the private schools there. They've lost pretty much all of those, but they did beat Bishop Lynch, and they've got a pretty good quarterback, John Copeland. I'm a fan of his.
This is a lot of taps talk.
Undersized, Mike. But I liked him. Have you come up with a team?
We were trying to vamp to give you some time.
I told you I had a question for the waiter.
Okay.
Who is the favorite of Martin versus Arlington High?
I would say
Arlington High, probably.
I would agree. Arlington High.
Yeah. Mm. Gosh.
It's not a classic traditional.
No, there's like games out there. Like if you look at any game in the Mansfield district, it's like they're all pretty evenly matched. I said earlier in the pod that I gave the other team the edge, but I'll go with Flower Mound against Trinity.
Okay,
there you go. I like that. Any particular reason? Or you just
well,
gut
I mean,
feel?
Well,
desperate for a matchup. He can't.
I was looking. I was actually looking at Byron Nelson against Marcus, which I found pretty interesting, just because you know, of what Byron Nelson showed us as late. And look, Marcus is a great team. Great Dinka's a great running back. I tweeted out that he's my newcomer of the year. You know, if those were to come out tomorrow, but Marcus has just had they've excelled down the stretch of games, but they've been in dogfights. You know, not a lot of these have been just putting away inferior teams, shutting the door on them. You know, it's kind of been like going to double overtime with, you know, Flower Mountain and stuff like this. And I don't know, this will be interesting as kind of like a way to see like how far has Trinity fallen, you know. And like we said, it could be for it could be for a playoff spot. And I think for a team like Trinity, which is used to making it to the playoffs, maybe it just means so much to Flower Mountain to say, this is our shot. Like, this is our shot to potentially make it into the playoffs. I don't know what the drought looks like for them, Matt. I imagine
it's not that long.
Fine.
they were in it just about 3 or 4 years ago.
All right. Well, about my
but
span
no, I mean,
of knowledge. But,
but
you know,
if you're talking about
you know, near winless, it's, you know, just
right.
would mean a lot to them.
Yeah, and they have definitely taken steps from what they were. Were they 1-19 over the last 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge step already for Flower Mountain this year. And so if you want to, you know, I mean, I think they have bright things ahead of them. If you want to get there a little more quickly, this is the game, you know, this would be a signature game for them, even though Trinity is down, to beat Euless Trinity and maybe give yourself a chance at the playoffs. That is the kind of victory that can, cliche, springboard you forward to not only things this year, but in seasons ahead.
I'm seeing where this game is. I'm curious about that. But I don't know yet.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
He's a Boy Scout, by the way.
It's in Flower Mound, baby!
There you go.
Woo!
All right. Even
it's
better
lit.
For Avi here. I'm sure the Flower Mound people on Twitter are going to be in love with Avi after this podcast. So,
it's like half our staff that doesn't work on high schools.
Yeah. Good. I mean,
we have a lot of Flower Mound
representation. We got Evan Grant. We got Barry Horn.
Right.
We got Brad Townsend. So the whole contingency. Like, it used to be that Evan Grant would come up to me. He's like, caught that halftime performance at the Flower Mound game. Was fantastic. And now he's like actually talking about, like, so what are their chances to make
right.
it into the playoffs?
Yeah. That's good.
So that's good.
Yeah. Shout out to Evan Grant. He's Flower Mound's like biggest fan at this point.
He tweets at us like asking for score updates while he's at Rangers games. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Should you all care as much about your high school football team as Evan Grant cares about Flo Mo Jags?
And of course, if you want those scores, they are live and updated, like play by play.
Yeah, that
yeah.
I end up just keep directing him to the website.
Yeah,
it's lazy people on Twitter.
That is. Real quick before you go, I want to, Benji, just point out one game that is going to be probably maybe overlooked a little bit, but it's huge.
I got one.
Mansfield Timberview versus Mansfield Lakeridge. Mansfield Lakeridge gets in with a win and a Waxahachie win. Mansfield Timberview gets in with a win and a Mansfield Legacy win. So one of those teams, whoever wins that game, has a shot at clinching the playoff spot in a crazy District 10-5A.
Which is amazing before the last week in that district.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick. We usually now, let's just say it. Thursdays, Ginger Kid at the table. Look, Thursdays usually don't get their shine on. Thursday games don't get their shine on as much as Friday games.
Yeah,
this is true.
However,
I was stuck with that reference.
Yeah, I don't know why you're just
like
down.
Look,
you're
I don't
just
think
bashing Ginger Kids.
No, there's nothing wrong with Ginger Kids, but it's I feel like in modern day, just, you know, vernacular, then that's like a thing. You say like, oh, it's like the, you know.
You're just digging yourself a bigger hole.
Back when I had hair, it was ginger.
Okay.
Oh, Matt Wixson
is offended.
Matt,
you have hair. It's not red. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it is.
Matt is offended right now.
But,
all right, whatever. Fine.
It's all right.
Thursdays,
I was just thrown by it.
Thursdays usually take a back seat.
Yes,
you know,
of course they do.
On the schedule. However, I would like to direct you to this Thursday. Will be awesome. We have Bowie and Mansfield.
Good one.
Could potentially decide district. Probably will.
Yeah.
And then we have Rowlett Lakeview Centennial. Which, two heavy hitters in that district, probably playing for second best behind Saxey, but still, awesome game. Very much looking forward to that Thursday.
Yeah, if Mansfield wins, that's pretty much the district there. They got North of Crowley in the next week, so
nothing
they should be able to coach to the victory there. If Bowie wins, that's a lot more interesting, depending on what happens with Arlington and Arlington Martin. You could have three teams tied with one loss in that district. So a lot to look forward to on Thursday, on Friday. So go to sportsahs.com.
Aledo Justin Northwest.
Aledo Justin Northwest as well. Matchup of undefeateds on Friday. Go to sportsahs.com. You can see all these matchups. You can see all the stats, all the scores, all the live play-by-play, so you don't have to tweet at us and tell and ask what the score is.
Looking at you, guy that tweets us asking the Wiley East link every week. It's a true story.
Go Twitter at sportsahs, or you can follow our individual accounts. I'm at Michael Florek.
Don't follow me.
Don't follow Avi, but you can follow at Matt Wixon.
Sure.
And go to Instagram, sportsahs. And
Facebook. Do we say Facebook?
And Facebook. Sports
and Snap.
Yeah, we snap a little bit, you know, SportsAHS.
Where are you going to, where are you going to be this week?
I'm going to be at Lancaster Waxahachie, so I'll be snapping from there.
Matt, where are you coming from?
I'll be at Capel Skyline. I can't verify that I'll be snapping.
You don't have to be
but
snapping.
But I'll be clapping.
He'll be clapping. for both teams, if not none.
Right.
He's rooting for a story.
Always.
Rooting
always.
For deadline.
Rooting for drama.
And that
early,
game.
Early drama.
And that game.
That I can write about. Yeah.
Yes.
He's cheering for the clock.
All right. We've gone way over. For me, for Matt, for Avi, we'll see you Friday night.